Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's O'Neill Outside on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from Three Falls Cabin, high in the mountains in North Georgia's the Black Powder headquarters and the Bojangles. Have to get all the sponsors in there. Bojangles Studio, this is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to a brand new, unused, fabulous spring Saturday morning.
I feel good.
Well, I know it's not quite spring, but it's going to be lovely and warm.
No, it is, according to the calendar.
Huh? I thought spring was April the 22nd.
No, it was March the 20th or 21st.
Oh, okay. Well, there you are. See, I fouled up again.
Of course.
It's 6:07 after the hour. Welcome to the program, everyone. This is O'Neill Outside. You can listen to us on WSB Radio out of Atlanta, the SB Nation Radio Network all across the country in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Sacramento, Los Angeles, Houston, Dallas, Columbus, everywhere, Little Rock, everywhere. It's 7 after the hour. And you can also be in touch with Woman Williams on Facebook at O'Neill Outside. Karen and Brian are in the studio in Peachtree City. Jason Byers is in Atlanta. Woman Williams is here with me. And we have another hour of outdoors ahead of you. I wish I was a professional at this. We've only been doing it 27 years. So, welcome
you
to the program.
You need more practice.
Well, doing it once a week, quite frankly, is detrimental to the speech pattern. If you did a radio show every day, like most people do that, then yes, I would be able to handle it better. One of the things on the horizon is this podcasting business, and O'Neill Outside will be podcasting, as will Travis and Dakota Russell, and they will have hunting podcast, and O'Neill Outside will be podcasting. We'll just be podcasting and podcasting. A lot of it. So, before I go to the break, in just a few minutes, we'll have the Silent Hero account, and then later in the program, the Medal of Honor description. So, it is a busy morning in the second hour of O'Neill Outside. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. We've got to go to a break now in just a few seconds. And I see Christopher is on the line from Carrollton, Georgia. And we'll get to you right away. I promise. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside.
I'm all right.
12 after the hour, this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Let's get to some of the calls if you can. We appreciate the participation in the program. Christopher is calling from Carrollton. Good morning, Christopher. What can I do for you, sir?
Hey, good morning. Happy Easter to y'all.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm just headed from Carroll County down to Taylor County. Going to hit a mill pond this morning for some giant golden bass, hopefully.
Good for you.
But I've got a little tip. I've been doing this little tip. Since the 90s, I love magazines.
Okay.
But they can get cluttered up, you know, with so many magazines.
Uh-huh.
So fishing and hunting magazines, I'll sort through and pull out articles that I like as references, put them in clear plastic sheets and then notebooks, and I've got several volumes of references.
I'll bet
you Georgia
do.
Outdoor News will have an article on a particular lake.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will go to that lake right then. Well, I'll hang on to that article for about 6 months to a year, and then I've got the place to myself.
Well, look at this from a studio standpoint. I mean, a study standpoint. Yes, ma'am, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I want him to come up here and help me.
Oh. Yeah, we got plenty of work up here going on.
Yeah, if you're good at organizing, you need to be up here.
I go through my notebooks. I've got them arranged and different. I fish. I don't hunt. I love turkey season, though, because everybody's out hunting turkeys and I'm fishing.
So. I got you. Well, I appreciate that, Christopher. That's a good idea.
All right. Well, y'all take care. And again, happy Easter.
You bet.
Good
luck to you. Catch a great old biggin'. There we are. Now let's talk to Mac. He's on line number one. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Good. We tricked you last week, didn't we?
Yeah, you did.
Yep,
yeah.
We did.
But
you have some details today.
Yes. Before we get to the Ram report, we've got a Ram a perk here. If you go to one of the Hayes family dealerships, you purchase a Ram, I believe starting April 1st through the end of April, we're going to throw your name in a hat. Whoever gets pulled out, we're going to take you fishing on Lake Lanier in May and try and catch a striper. How about that?
I think that's a great idea. It's worth buying a Ram for that.
Well, you get a great truck from great folks at a great price. And if you go fishing, then it's really a win-win.
Yes, indeed.
So, yeah,
I think we should do a live drawing of
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
And so people can watch the drawing. We'll have to ask Mike about that.
Okay.
You know, we could go over there and Matt could draw a name or whatever.
We could do it off a cell phone or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
We'll do it on Facebook or something.
We do it live.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Good thinking there.
Yeah, we haven't asked Mike about this yet, but you know,
call him
idea.
Right now.
What'd you say, Mac?
I said, call him right now.
Okay. He's probably up.
What's going on at the lake, sir? That's a great promotion, and I congratulate you. And
we're looking forward to it. And I think the live feed, that's a good idea. So we'll talk to Mike about that and see if we can pull it off.
Okay.
In the meanwhile, if you're not going turkey hunting and you want to go catch a fish, today's a good day to do it. It's going to be a little chilly this morning, but conditions are improving. Water temperatures are warming up rapidly all over the southeast, and the fish, particularly the bass, are really responding to that. Crappie are off, they're going to pull up shallow. So the drawback with all that, you can get a lot of change this weekend and end of the week where the fish are moving, responding to this warm weather. Good thing you have a lot of fish in the shallows. The striper bite, we've actually started catching a pretty fair number of stripers back in the creeks, just casting bucktails or pulling live baits. And this is a really tough concept, O'Neill. When I say in the back of the creeks, people ask me this in the fishing report. They ask me to clarify whatever. I'm talking about as far back as you can go. It's tough. I think it's hard to visualize a big fish like a striper being way back in shallow water. But right now, with the water temperatures like they are, which is mostly mid to upper 50s, depending on where you're at, oxygen levels are very good in the backs of the creeks, and there's a lot of little baits back there, a lot of little thread fins and bluebacks. And when that happens, the kitchen's open and the predators go there. So don't be afraid to get in skinny water.
I've often said it, if you haven't gone far enough if the boat's not on the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, there's no stop signs back there. There's no limitation because oxygen levels. And that won't work in the summer because that water becomes very oxygen poor, but now that's not the case. So don't be afraid to get in the back of a creek. There's bass back there with them, same thing. They eat the same shad, and that will probably get stronger as the water heats up.
I recall, it's always about me. I recall years ago, many, many years ago, I won a tournament, and people asked me, where were you? And I said, I was in so-and-so creek in the back. And two guys said, no, you weren't. You're lying because I looked back there. And I said, you didn't go far enough.
Didn't look far enough. There you go. The back and the end sometimes are the same thing.
That's right. I had them corralled back there, buddy.
Go till you can't go any further. Until you
That's
have to
exactly
turn around.
Right.
And if you hadn't caught one, they're not there. Go to another creek and do the same thing to
you
find them.
You betcha. Well, that's a good report, and we've got a promotion going on. Give us the details one more time.
Anybody, go to one of the Hayes family dealerships. Anybody purchases a qualifying Ram truck, which is pretty much any Ram, we'll take you between through the month of April to the end of April. They're going to throw your name in the hat. We're going to draw it out. Whoever wins, we're going to take you fishing.
Good idea. We'll do that drawing live, I'll bet you.
Yep, I'll look forward to that, and we'll look forward to getting a new Ram owner in the boat and getting them a picture of a striper. How about that?
Yeah, there you are. Thanks for calling, Matt. Good luck to you, pal.
Thanks. Happy Easter, everybody. Be safe outdoors and on the water.
There you are. Mighty fine. See you soon. 18 after the hour. I think we've got time. Do we want to talk to Hank the Yank now?
I don't know. Do we?
Yeah. That was a question for you.
I thought you were asking now. Yeah.
We've got time, and I know you're probably headed for the lake, so I thought I'd try to get to you.
I am going to be headed to the lake in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
So, first of all, I want to wish all our listeners on Realtree Radio that happy Easter, and for those that are members of the tribe, a happy Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so indeed.
I thought about you this morning. Yes, sir.
You did? Why is that? Were you eating matzah?
Yes, matzah balls.
Not matzah balls. You don't eat matzah balls for Passover. You eat matzah.
Okay.
What's the difference?
A matzah ball is something that's put in soup, and that you usually have for either lunch or dinner. And matzah is usually eaten as a substitute for bread, and most times you'll have it. They'll actually crumble up the unleavened bread and put it with eggs and make what's called matzah braai. It's actually quite good.
Oh.
I always learn something from Hank the Yank.
That's right. And you know where matzah is really effective? In the backs of the coves.
Oh.
Where the fish are.
Okay.
So listen, here's a tip for all our fishermen. If the fish are out in the open water and the birds are on them and you want to keep people away from your fish, you take a box of matzah with you and crumble it up and throw it on the water. And when the birds all start diving to eat the matzah, you run to where the fish were and everybody else
gotcha.
Run into the... You follow me?
That's something we
used to do back in the day. But anyway, so my report's a little bit different. It's pretty much spot on with Max, but one thing I'm going to add is that it's time for you to start watching these fish going up to spawn, because we're starting to see that occur. The fish are getting up there. The water temps are about 55 right now for the most part. They're not at that magic 57 number, which gets them way up north spawning, but it's really close. They're staging, and we're actually starting to see fish moving from the south end of the lake. They're starting to move mid and north. We're just finally getting to see that. We've been waiting for that for a few weeks, and it's finally starting to happen. And what's really important about that, O'Neill, is that if you're going to follow those fish up north and you just want to get a few extra bites, you want to start fishing the points, because the males will be stacking up on the points waiting for the females to go far up north to spawn, and they'll follow them up there. So this is a time where you want to start making a few casts on points with a sinking fly line, or if you're a conventional angler, even a little bucktail with a fluke on the back of it. Will work just great on the points. And you don't have to hit every point, but you hit two or three points and move further up the lake and hit two or three more, and eventually you're going to find those fish. That's the next pattern
we're
expecting to see.
You'll be an angler. What? Gil Woman Williams is showing me something here. Yeah, we've got about 10 seconds. So, Happy Hanukkah. Is that right? No, what is
no,
it?
That's Passover.
Happy Passover.
Passover.
I get
Hanukkah's
confused. It's early. I got to go, pal.
Take care.
Good luck to you. See you soon, my good friend. I'll talk to you next week. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. We'll be back.
Now, more of O'Neill Williams.
And now, it's time for the Ronnie Thames Silent Hero Foundation Award, brought to you by Fire Aid.
Fire Aid brings you the Ronnie Thames Silent Hero account. And here we go. James O'Brien. Now, firefighters have an advantage over the rest of us if you're in a fire, because they've got the proper equipment. They've got the face mask and oxygen and the proper clothing and so on. Heavy layers of breathing apparatus, they allow them to tolerate the flames much longer than ordinary people can. That's understood. But what do you do if the person you're rescuing needs your equipment more? Well, this is a silent hero. In Braintree, Massachusetts, fireman James O'Brien responded to a house fire, and this was in 2010. He found a barely breathing man. His name is John Gillis. He was unconscious and on the floor of the kitchen, and he was surrounded by flames. With no concern for his safety, O'Brien removed his own breathing mask, put it over Gillis's face. Then the fireman held his breath while he hoisted James over his shoulders and muscled him and that dead weight through the flames and exited the house and saved his life. That, my friends, is a Ronnie Thames silent hero. I wish I could. You should look that up at Fire Aid, the Ronnie Thames Foundation silent hero. So it's 27 after the hour. Yes, ma'am.
Just another hero.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're We're surrounded by them.
Indeed.
And we don't know it.
Yes. They're silent.
Yep.
Aha. One of the questions on Facebook with reference to a book that I talked about this, read this week, and I talked about in the first hour, is about Endurance, is the name of the book. And it's the account of Ernest Shackelford and his crew that tried to go to the South Pole. And they were, their sailboat, there was a sailing vehicle that did have a steam engine on it. And they were trapped in the ice. The ice crushed the boat. They spent 17 months on the ice. He did not lose a single man. And the Facebook question was, what did they eat for all that length of time? They mostly ate seals. I mean, it's not like seals encounter very many humans, so there was no natural fear. So they harvested seals and then later on penguins. So they ate meat for 17 months, and they had some powdered milk, which they cooked on a little burner thing they had. 17 months of nothing but meat. No vegetables, no potatoes, no carbs, nothing but meat.
I bet they don't eat that anymore.
Nah, an outstanding account of Ernest Shackelford, a man, a hero, that, quite frankly, he died when he was 47 years old on another exhibition. They crossed the most dangerous and rough seas on the planet to get out of there. Six men in a sailboat with 40-foot waves and 200-mile-an-hour winds. You should read the book. It's called Endurance. Be sure and go to Horsetown and Cherokee Toyota this week and ask for a hat. Right now, let's see if I've got time for this. I'm sure I do. And, yes, let's talk to Richard, calling from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard. What do you say, pal?
Well, it's like this. They have a song, probably would fit for your Silent Hero Award. I don't know exactly how it goes. I think I got the words wrong. It goes like, Billy, don't be a hero. Never heard that song before?
I don't think I have, but I have no memory and reference for things of that nature.
It's an oldie goldie. It has to do with somebody being a hero, but it's... Oh, never mind. If you never heard it, we'll forget it. But I wanted to ask you about, if you know anything about this, they have, like, during the rodeo, this is something I've always wondered. You see the bulls, when a rider gets on them, they buck, and then the bucking broncos, they have the horses, those things are buck like they do, and they don't do that normally. I just wonder what causes them to do that, because if they're sitting in the pen, you don't see them doing it, but when... Is that what causes them when a rider gets on them on their back that they buck like they do like that? Is that
they're
what
trained
it?
For that.
What's that?
They are taught and conditioned to buck, because and they have different talents. I know some of the bulls were so destructive that they were forced to retire from being in rodeo because it hurt so many people. Well, that's a real athlete. You know, the bull riders and the bronco riders, too, Richard, are real little guys. Very seldom you have a bull or a bronco rider that's over 5'8" tall.
Now, still, I don't know. You might be right, I guess. I mean, the rider, they're just taught to do that. What do you mean taught to do that? They just, when the rider gets on their back, that. The person that asked the friend told me it has to do with somebody, that's when they tie a rope around their midsection.
Yeah, that they are conditioned to respond to that stimuli of ropes being in certain positions on their bodies.
So bulls and broncs are athletes just like
absolutely.
People that ride them?
Absolutely. Biggest athletes in the world are horses and bulls. I know there's one of the bulls, he was famous, and he had to be retired. Nobody ever rode him, and he almost killed several people. I don't remember his name, but that'd be a good trivia question, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting if they're just conditioned to do that. I just never heard that answer before. I thought maybe it did have to do with putting that rope around the midsection, or just they just get annoyed when a rider gets on their back. But
They are trained for that.
I guess that's the answer to it.
They're trained for it, as I understand it. And I'm no rodeo aficionado. I'm just a fisherman.
Oh, okay. I was just checking.
Good deal. It's a good question. Great question.
Like, Billy, don't be a hero. That's a good one.
You're great to call, Richard. I appreciate it. There
we'll
he goes. He's gone
song.
Already. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Any further questions on Facebook this morning, honey? No?
Let's see. Well, you had that one about Charlie Elliott. I answered him on
Okay.
On
the
Facebook.
Question was, what's the best bass fishing lake at Charlie Elliott Wildlife Center? What's the best bass lake at Charlie Elliott? That's the signature DNR place for people to visit, and I don't know that answer. You have to call the people down there.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been down there in a couple of years since I did that show with what was that little girl's name? Megan?
I don't know, but she's on the intro to the Facebook.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Little dark haired girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She was fabulous little girl. She wasn't the least bit intimidated by me or the camera or the fish or anything.
Mm-hmm.
She was game for it.
You should do more with little kids.
I'm going to do another one.
Yourself.
Yes, I'm going to do another one with at Charlie Elliott, probably.
Mm-hmm.
They keep those lakes at Charlie Elliott full of fish.
They do.
Oh, man. If you can't catch a fish at Charlie Elliott, you need some more practice. 34 after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Boy, the time's running by fast this morning, isn't it?
It sure is.
Wow.
Time runs fast anyway.
Yeah, well, it always does. Be sure and go to Horsetown or Cherokee County Toyota now and get your hats before they run out. Ah, the bull's name is Bodacious.
Yeah, somebody just answered that on Facebook, too.
Bodacious. He was I don't think Bodacious was ever ridden for 8 seconds. I'm just guessing, but something like that. He never was ridden. Let's see if I can see here. Okay, well, we're gonna answer the question live here from Mike, I think. Good morning, Mike.
Yes, Mike in Cleveland, Georgia there, O'Neill.
Hey, Mike, and the bull's name is?
I remember Bodacious there back in my day, but the bull that killed a whole lot of people was taking care of business there. That's one that killed Lane Frost.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
If you remember.
Yeah, he killed, Lane Frost died from that, didn't he?
Yeah, Gordon right through his lungs there, sure did. I did a little bit of rodeoing back in the day there, and that bull, nobody wanted to pull that bull's number.
I'm sure not. Now, what was the other guy who tried to ride? Tough Edelman.
Tough Edelman, yeah.
He didn't ride him either, did he?
No, I didn't either. Thank God.
Good for you. I've only got a minute here, but if you don't mind being a rodeo guy, are you a big fella?
I am 5'11 there, and back then I had to keep my weight down about 180, and I still considered pretty big to do that what I was doing.
I see. I met Tough Edelman once, and he was bigger than I thought.
Too.
Yeah, he wasn't a little fellow, was he?
No, he sure wasn't. Lane, he's the best of the best because he's little, he's stringy, you know, but. Yeah, I knew both of them, hung out with both of them, and Cody, too, back in the day, but, yeah.
Just a little fellas. Well, yeah, you're a big guy to be a rodeo guy at 5'11", 180.
Well, that's about 35 years ago there.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. All right, my good friend, we need to get out of here. Thanks for calling. Bodacious, and what was the other one?
Taking care of business.
Thanks for calling, my good friend. We got a lot of calls. We'll get to every one of them when we return. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. WSB, SB Nation, and Facebook. And we'll be back.
Going out for lunch in Atlanta traffic can leave you stuck and hangry.
Oh, come on.
Before you head out, fill up with WSB traffic information. Listen for double the traffic info in the 1130 News and updates at 1150 and noon. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
You're listening to a live broadcast of O'Neill Outside, and we're talking first to Mike is calling on line number two. Good morning, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, O'Neill. I'm going to the turkey woods this morning, and I was wondering, what is the general rule? Do they, like, roost in the same tree, or is it just like where they end up at the end of the day and decide to go up there? I mean, is it?
It's a combination of that. They'll roost when the boss gobbler decides to fly up, and they'll spread out sometimes quite a bit on the roost, but they will generally roost in the same area, and they like to do that over water also.
Yeah, well, I hope I get on him. Last week I had him off the roost, and he got good and hot, just good. Quite making close the distance, and they weren't talking. They weren't very vocal last weekend, so hopefully it's cool morning, crisp day. They're going to be out there gobbling. Nothing like it when you hear them gobbling.
You betcha. That's a thrilling sound in the outdoors for the number one big game animal in North America, the eastern wild turkey. Good luck to you, pal.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good one.
You bet. Call me back now next week. Let me know how you did, okay?
I'll do it.
Mighty fine. There you go. Now, Brian is calling from Flowery Branch. What a great name for a place. Flowery Branch, Georgia. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir.
What do you say?
I just want to say how much I enjoy your show, and I'm heading out to the woods with one of my best friends, and I've been hunting turkeys for 6 years, and I've yet to get one, and I'm hoping today's the day.
I hope so, too. That's, are you in a, one of the big mistakes is people hunting places where there aren't any turkeys. Have you got them? Are you hearing them? Do you know they're there?
Oh, yeah, the place is covered up with them. It's up
okay.
In Jasper, and they're just everywhere, and a couple guys have already got four this past week up there, so we know they're there, and we heard them last week, so hopefully we can get on them this morning.
Okay. Time your calls. Try to make a special effort not to call very much.
Yeah, that seems to be the word anyway.
You bet. Because after you've called two times or maybe three, they know where you are.
Right. Well, yep. I'm hoping today's the day, man. And like I said, it's been tough, but I love it, and should be a beautiful morning.
Call me back. Let me know how you do.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Mighty fine. See you soon. And it's 42 after the hour, 43. Let's talk to Chris. Good morning, Chris. You're on the air again. Good morning.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Lovely.
Hey, listen, I was just calling back to reinforce what you're talking about, the silent heroes.
Yes.
I have got two nephews in my brother's family, and they are both firemen. And they both work at the same station, opposite shifts. One works day, one works nights.
Uh-huh.
And I have the utmost respect for all first responders, whether they be police, ambulance drivers, EMTs, firemen, it doesn't matter. They have got my utmost respect. And we lost my brother last year, day after Christmas, to pancreatic cancer. Well, both my nephews were there taking care of my brother.
Oh,
both
boy.
Of them. So I have the utmost respect. I'm going to go down to Augusta in July for a reunion / memorial for my brother and his late grandson, who died a few years ago from eye cancer at 14 years old. So we're going to have a memorial for my brother and my great nephew. But my nephews are going to be there. So I have the utmost respect for all first responders. And everybody needs to remember, when they see the flashing lights, it might be your life they're coming to see.
Oh,
absolutely.
Well said.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that call, sir. I tell you what, that's why Fire Aid and the Ronnie Thames Foundation sponsors and has so much to do with the Silent Hero Award and description and account, because they are indeed that. They are silent heroes.
Yeah, well, every one of them are, and I have the utmost respect for each and every one of them, no matter who they are or where they are. They've got my respect.
We agree.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling, Chris. Stay in touch.
Okay. You bet.
There you are. Here's Ron is calling at 45 after the hour. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. How are you?
Lovely.
Well, hey, I wanted to call and tell you I appreciate the program, and you and Miss Gail do a great job, and the cast there. And I had won the prize package a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't want to seem ungrateful and call and just tell you I appreciate the opportunity. For years I've enjoyed the program, and we're headed up to do a little trout fishing in Clayton, Georgia. But while I was on the way, I thought, it'd be a good thing for me to call and at least say thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for taking the time to call. Where are you fishing this morning near Clayton?
We're probably going to go up on the Coleman. There are several places up there to trout fish, but that's probably where we'll start, and then we'll move around to other small streams. But while I was on the way, I wanted to call and say, hey, you know, it's programs like this that should show the liberal world that the outdoorsman in class can walk hand in hand, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I'll have some comments about that. Ron, good luck to you. Thanks for taking the time to call about the race. It ended up quite a little box of goods, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think I'm going to use the baits this morning.
Okay, good. Good deal. Good luck to you.
I appreciate it.
You bet. See you, Ron. All right, it's 46, almost 47 after the hour. Anything on Facebook, honey? Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Matt is wrote to us from Mobile, Alabama, and he's going to go find some bass this morning.
All right, good.
So I wished him luck and let us know how
he's
doing.
He's in Mobile. He's really up early.
Yeah. Well, you got to go get those.
There.
You got to go get those fish early. You know. Yeah.
Well, before kinda the light hits the water, you need to be there.
Kind of like turkey hunting. You have to get in the woods.
I think now let's see. We've had the Medal of Honor. I'm pardon the Silent Hero account now for a year almost. Has it been that long?
Close to it.
It's finally taking hold, isn't it?
Well, we didn't start doing that until when we started doing this live, which was last July.
Okay,
so it hadn't been quite a year.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I think
that's right. Right. We started in July.
Yeah. So we've been doing it ever since July. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can, you don't wait on me. Now, if you know of, come across a story or know of a silent hero account that we should air, that we should pass along to the audience, be in touch with O'Neill Outside via the website. At O'NeillOutside.com, be in touch with us, and we'll use it on the air. These silent hero accounts are really taking hold now, and they're sponsored by, and I'll grab, Fire Aid. It's something. Here's your Fire Aid can. Those of you who are on Facebook can see it. F-I-R-E, capital A-D-E, Fire Aid. Yes, ma'am.
How did it work on your hand this morning?
That's what I was about to
say. Oh, right. Okay.
I went up for coffee this morning, and the top thing on the coffee was secure, the top of the pot, and I poured coffee on my hand right out of the pot. And we've done this before, and I sprayed Fire Aid on the burn. It takes the burn right out of off your skin.
That was amazing. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Too bad we weren't on the air.
A fellow by the name of Ronnie Thames invented this Fire Aid, this liquid, and they use it worldwide. Fire Aid, worldwide. It is one of a kind on Earth. And again, O'Neill has lots of recommendations. I'm looking out for you. At our house, and everyone, certainly the family, we have a Fire Aid can in the kitchen, in the laundry room, in the shop, next to the grill, which I had to put out a fire here about a month ago during the chili cook-off.
Remember? Yeah.
You get Fire Aid. You can go to O'Neill Outside and order cans of Fire Aid, and we'll send you a hat that goes with it, a Fire Aid hat.
another, and they do actually have a holder for it. Keep it, if you ride a motorcycle, keep it on your motorcycle.
It's a good idea. So, 550, in just a few minutes, we'll have the Medal of Honor. Rick, I don't have time. Or do I? No, I don't have time. Matt, hold on now. I'll get back to you if I can. Billy won't be a hero. We need to come up with a good, really good hero song that introduces that, don't we? What's the one you were talking about? Was Mariah Carey?
Yeah, the hero song, the hero Mariah song? Carey. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to do that. So 2 hours of outdoors is almost up. But we'll wait right now for another 10 seconds or so for the introduction to the Medal of Honor. And we're so proud to be able to do this. All right, I'm ready. Fire away,
good friend. Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Florent Goldberg, Afghanistan, August 2012. During a combat operations against an armed enemy, Captain Groberg was leading several senior leaders as they approached the governor's compound. And Captain Groberg observed an individual that had turned and made an abrupt turn toward the formation. He's aware, okay? When he noticed that, he placed himself in front of the brigade commanders, and he rushed forward using his body to push the suspect away from the formation. He had noticed when the man turned that he had on a suicide vest. So instead of turning away, he rushed the guy with the bulge and had on the vest. He placed himself in front of the formation. The suicide bomber detonated the vest. But instead of killing about 25 guys, he wounded 4. Captain Groberg's action to push the suicide bomber away from the formation minimized the impact of the suicide bomber's attack, and he survived. He saved the lives of them and himself. His extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service. Florent Groberg, Afghanistan, August 2012.
I was so afraid that was not going to have a good ending.
Yeah, it did. Well,
hopefully
he
wasn't
hurt. Some
of the
guys died, but it could have been about 50 people.
Yeah, and it could have been him as well.
Evidently, he heroic. Okay,
yes.
It's 5:53. I'll try to get to Matt in a moment. This has been O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings on WSB and the SB Nation. I hope you'll make plans to join us every week. You can, from my guest, you can learn an awful lot about striper and bass fishing, what's happening on the lakes, tips about turkey hunting, what to do, what not to do, and you'll hear the Silent Hero Award and, of course, the Medal of Honor description, which we are so proud of. And next week, during the program, I'll take a few minutes to, which I've done so many other times before, and we'll preface that with the reason that we came up with it. It's 54 after the hour, and we'll be back.
News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Good morning, Mike Hayes.
Good morning, Woman Williams. What a great day.
It is going to be a fabulous weekend, and it's going to be even more fabulous because you're going to tell us, we've already talked to Matt, but now you get to tell us about this prize thing that we're going to be doing, and I'm ready for you to tell everybody because I think it's pretty exciting.
It's pretty darn exciting. Well, the odds are so good. We sell around 100 trucks a month. And that 100 trucks a month, the person that buys that truck, whose name will go in a register, so go fishing with Captain Mac. And that's pretty good.
That is fabulous. That's just unbelievable.
And it starts today.
And it starts today, and it's every...
Starts today, runs through April.
And it's every ram that is that you sell goes...
Every ram that, that any of the stores sell, the Baldwin store, the Gainesville store, or the Lawrenceville store, goes into a pot.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the month, or the beginning of the next month, we'll draw the winner out to go fishing with Mac.
Okay.
That's
now,
cool.
Mac and I have come up with an idea.
No, I don't want to hear it.
Yes, you do. Mac and
okay,
I,
tell me about it.
Mac and I want to do that live, stream it on Facebook Live. We want to come over there with a camera and watch the drawing, and then we'll put it on the Facebook page. And what do you think about that? Because I'm springing this on you.
I think that you ought to draw the winning number out.
I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I think that would be terrific.
We'll bring a camera over there. We'll do it live, and then then we'll be ready to go with it on the show as well. So they're telling me I got to wrap this up. So you think about that and let us know if you want to do it.
Y'all have a great weekend.
You too, honey. See ya.
Bye bye.
Bye.
We'll wind up O'Neill outside this morning with a chat briefly with Matt. Matt is calling from McDonough, Georgia. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, O'Neill. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, wonderful. Good to hear from you.
I want to touch on two subjects. Billy, don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life. Was in the mid-60s, and it was about a young man going off to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it very well. And the other one was the legend of the bull, Bushwhacker. I believe only one man was able to ride him during his during Bushwhacker's reign as king of the bulls.
Yeah, that's those are real athletes, both the bulls and the guy that gets on a bull. He's really a tough guy.
Absolutely.
As in tough Edelman, huh?
Yep. Well, I enjoy your show. I do take you up on where to fish and when to fish, and it was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for taking the time to call. It's a privilege to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. All right, good. We always have great input from folks. It's 58 after the hour right now. Another episode of O'Neill Outside with Karen and Brian Green and Woman Williams and Jason Byers and the staff at WSB is now history again. I hope you'll make plans to join us next week also. Fishing's fabulous. Turkey hunting is happening right now. And we'll have a lot of things to pass along to you next week that we gather up. Be sure, and if you can, look up, find the book that I always have great recommendations. Book called Endurance. It's the story of Ernest Shackelford and his adventure into the Antarctic. And it's maybe the greatest adventure ever recorded. And it was in 1914 to 1916. Okay, I got to get out of here. And keep this in mind, wherever you go, whatever you do, if you're too busy to go fishing and hunting and take a kid along and teach him about the outdoors, you're too busy. We'll see you guys next week.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.